Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
You're listening to a man whose work is never done.
In a job like yours, even when it's finished, there's always one more thing to do.
And his job is to make your job easier.
It's a very difficult job, and the only way to get through it is we all work together as a team. And that means you do everything I say.
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
Welcome back. It's 34 after the hour. Thank you very much for hanging around with me today. Happy Small Business Week, ladies and gentlemen. We're having a great time here in Washington, D.C. I'm broadcasting live from Washington, D.C., from my nation's capital, one of my favorite cities in the whole world. I love being here. I love everything about it except some of the politics that happens up here. But that's the bad that you have to take with the good. And there's a lot of good things that happen up here, and including the official celebration of small business during Small Business Week here by the Small Business Administration. And this, as I said earlier, this is my 10th year to help the SBA celebrate small business, and it's a lot of fun. Can't wait for the rest of it to happen, and we always have a good time. It's going to be good to see our good friends over at the SBA and all the other folks who come around and who sort of like being part of this celebration. Small business owners are just cool. We're just cool people, aren't we, boys and girls? We're just cool, and other people want to hang around with us. And somebody who knows all about that is our good friend David Dossi. David, as you know, is the intellectual property attorney of our Brain Trust. He's the partner with Gallagher and Dossi. It's an intellectual property firm out of the great state of Ohio, and he's our good friend. David, welcome back to the show.
Morning, Jim. Always glad to be here.
It's good to have you here. Happy Small Business Week.
Yes, thank you. Same to you.
You're a small business owner, just like, a lot of people don't think of. Now, you're considered to be a professional because you have a professional degree. You're an attorney, and you're as in the old days you would have been known. And I guess you still don't mind being called sometimes a patent attorney. There's nothing wrong with that. It's just that the work that you do is a lot broader than patents, especially these days. But you're a professional, as they say, but a lot of people don't think about it, but you're just as much of a small business owner as I am.
Oh, absolutely. I'd say most attorneys out there are small business owners and go through the same struggles that all our clients do.
Making payroll and dealing with the employees and all the challenges out there. By the way, there's another thing that happened yesterday, and you sent me a little tidbit on this. I'm going to get you to tell us a little bit about that. Let's go ahead and get that out. And that's your thought about Earth Day. What happened? What is the Patent and Trademark Office? What will they do for you if you're an Earth Day kind of guy?
Well, the Patent and Trademark Office has long recognized that they need to encourage innovation in inventions related to energy conservation because, you know, that's so key to the environment. So for at least 10 years, they've had a program by which if you have an invention related to energy conservation or enhancing the quality of the environment, you can petition the Patent and Trademark Office to make your patent application what they call special, and therefore it goes on an expedited review path. So they will take it out of order of all the other patent applications and bump it up in priority level, essentially. And quite often it reduces the amount of time by 50%.
Have you had any clients that have gotten that special exemption?
Not for energy conservation. There are a couple other exemptions that you can make special and expedite the process. But I haven't had any for energy conservation.
Homeland Security is one of them, isn't it?
Right. Age of the inventor is one, and there are a handful of others.
So folks, if you think you're special, if you say, you know, I'm special, I should be treated special, I guess you can petition the Patent and Trademark Office and see if they agree with you.
That's right.
That's very interesting, and so as opposed to staying in the normal cycle, which might be as long as how long, maybe
the average
years.
Time is over 2 years, and more realistically, I'd say 3 to 4.
Yeah. So what would, how would it, how would, how much would you, it accelerate if you, what would it, could it be done in 6 months or something like that?
Well, their goal is to have a final decision within 12 months of the filing. And
right.
That is very remarkable if you know much about the patent and trademark system and the patent and trademark office.
Mm-hmm. So for the special exemption folks, if they went to the head of the line, would that be a good time to expect, a year?
Yeah, that's what I would plan on. If you were in the fortunate group to have the patent and trademark office agree that your invention is, you know, special because of energy conservation or environmental issues.
And right.
I have to give the Patent and Trademark Office credit. I mean, it's a great concept.
I agree. It shows that they're part of the solution. They want to be part of the solution, I should say, and not part of the problem. We're going to take a quick break, folks. When we come back, David's going to talk to us about what he calls the 5 common intellectual property mistakes that you and I make, and how do we avoid it? Stay with us. We'll be right back.
That's all I've got for myself.
Life Assurance Company of Columbus, Aflac.
I believe that's Booker T and the MGs. I think that's Time is Tight. So that's from the Wayback Machine. Welcome back. It's 17 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, I'm the Small Business Advocate, and we're visiting with our good friend David Dossie. He's the intellectual property attorney in our Brain Trust. And David, one of the things you want to talk about today is what you call the 5 common intellectual property mistakes that people like me, small business owners, make. What's the number 5? You want to go backwards or forwards?
Let's go backwards.
All right, number 5.
5 down to 1. Well, one of the most common things is for businesses to fail to recognize that everyone has intellectual property. No matter if you're a service mm-hmm. business or you make a product or you're the local franchise, everyone has intellectual property, and you need to at least consider ways to protect it.
Well, and to me, David, before you protect it, which I know that's how you make a living, that before you protect it, you're leveraging it somehow. Some way or another, you've come up with a system, a form, a procedure, a practice. Maybe it's something that's more tangible. But you've come up with something that makes your business run, that gives you a little bit of a competitive advantage. And I could see, David, where for the average small business owner, before they actually, you know, it wouldn't be like at the moment of birth, the owner would say, hey, this is intellectual property. I think that would probably become something that they tried and you know, they tried 10 things and 7 of them didn't work. And the 3 that they were left with worked, actually. And then all of a sudden they said, wait a minute. I own this, and nobody else, you know, and, you know, for a long time, David, you'd think that everybody knew about it.
Right.
Everybody has this. And then all of a sudden you realize, we talk to some friends or you talk to people in the industry, you realize, you know what, I got something pretty unique here. And that's when, to me, David, I think that's the evolution of intellectual property in small business. What do you think?
Without a doubt. And one of the examples I often use is the fact that someone that supplies product to the grocery stores, they may come up with a efficient delivery route because of the process of delivering to all the grocery stores on the south end of mm-hmm. town for 20 years. They finally nailed it down that if they go in this particular order, they're going to miss the most traffic, hit the best lights, and, you know, conserve the most fuel, and it'll save the most on repairs and brakes, et cetera, et cetera. But, you know, coming up with that is a lot of work, and people don't recognize it. And, you know, it's your intellectual property that saves you money in the long run.
And protecting it, as you say, as you recommend that we do, is something that we have to do. But there are a number of ways to do that. And for most things in small business, a lot of it's protected by just trade secrets, right? You just keep it a secret.
Right. And in small business, it's all a matter of how well you can keep your secret. Because if you're the business owner, you're the one that knows what's going on. And as long as you are the kind of the vault of all the information, you can just divvy out pieces of information so that none of your employees really know the master plan, so that if they leave, it doesn't adversely impact your business.
Or if you do have to give them the full story, you protect it. They call somebody like you who helps them to come up with a document that protects them by the employee signs a document that says, I won't disclose this to anyone no matter where I go.
Absolutely.
And which document you actually enforce, which I have enforced before. The courts will recognize it, folks. It does work. Okay, number four.
Okay. Kind of dovetailing in with the number five is, many small businesses fail to consider that your actions may be violating another party's intellectual property rights.
Right.
Which means you could be going along swimmingly and developing a great business, and then 6 months down the road, come to find out that you're infringing another party's trademark, or one of your employees came and brought information to your company that was a trade secret of another company.
Mm-hmm. Maybe you didn't even know that that's how it came to you.
Exactly. And it is overwhelming that once you are sucked into the pitfall of an intellectual property dispute, there is no easy way out. So that even you're moving along, someone points out that you're infringing their intellectual property rights, even if you said, okay, I'm going to change all, just to get a lawsuit dismissed, you're looking at thousands and thousands of dollars.
That's a little, you're scaring me now, David.
Well,
how do you fix that?
Uh-huh. You fix it by doing my number one item on the list, which is do some preventative intellectual property planning.
Mm-hmm. Which we're going to get to in just a minute. Let's talk about introduce number three there.
Okay, number three is many small businesses are under the mistaken belief that any person would invest in your company if you haven't protected your intellectual property. Because just having a good idea is not reason enough for someone to write you a seven-figure check.
Mm-hmm.
And we see it every day that people will come in and they feel they have a great idea and they've started their, one-person LLC, and now they're going to get out there and start beating on the doors for investors. And if you can't tell an investor that you have, a patent application filed or you've got your trademarks protected and you have a plan in regarding to your intellectual property, they would be a fool to invest in your company.
Well, or they've never tried to make it real. They've never tried to make it a reality. They've never put their own money into it to see if it actually will work or not.
Exactly.
And I get those questions all the time in my shop. Stand by, David. Quick break. We're going to be right back and talk about some of the other mistakes that small business owners make when it comes to intellectual property. It's 10 Till. Stay with us. Welcome back. 7 Till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, broadcasting live from Washington, D.C., celebrating Small Business Week, kicking it off, actually. I bet no one on the planet is kicking off Small Business Week anywhere else except right here, and we're just the guys to do it, me and David Dossie. David, give us your website, please.
It is invention-protection.com.
And folks, that's not your grandfather's intellectual property patent attorney website. So check that out when you get a chance. And David's a good guy. David is my patent attorney. He's my intellectual property attorney. And we've never met, unfortunately, have we, David?
So no, that's right.
David works with a lot of people that he's never met. He can work with you virtually, and I encourage you to check that out when you get a chance. He does good work. David, we're talking about the five biggest mistakes small business owners make with regard to intellectual property. The last one was believing that anyone will invest in your company if you haven't protected your intellectual property. If you have a company, you gave the example of somebody who has an idea and wanted to go get somebody to give them a bunch of money for it. But, even another example is somebody who has a business that's working and they're actually using their technology and their intellectual property, I should say, and it might be technology, but they haven't protected. They've taken no steps. They're not conscious of any kind of things that they need to do to protect it, and they get ready to sell the business, and they think the guy ought to give them, you know, twice as much as the company's worth because of that. And absolutely, that's probably not going to work, is it?
Well, and another analogous situation is when people have a great business up and running, and they say, okay, I had to consider franchising this. Well, when you franchise right. something, you're really franchising the intellectual property that you've developed. If you haven't right. protected it, why would anyone pay you a franchising fee, for your system?
Right. It's all about the protection. But, you know, David, even if somebody decides not to do the formal protection, they decide to do the trade secret thing, which there are times when I can certainly understand that. They at least need to make the conscious decision to do that, don't they? It shouldn't be an accident.
Oh, absolutely. And when I say protect your intellectual property, I don't mean that it's got to be a formal trademark application or patent application or copyright. You just need to take steps with trade secrets to ensure that, you know, mm-hmm. things don't get out and you have control over it. And I often tell our clients, you know, before you buy something as simple as a $100,000 house, there is a lot of due diligence that goes on. People go out, check the title, do title reports, make sure the house is clear of all the liens, et cetera, you know. So, and the entire risk of loss when you buy a $100,000 house is $100,000. You know, when you're investing in a company where the potential loss could be much more than the investment that you're making, you know, the level of due diligence is quite amazing. And people need, you know, small business owners just have to recognize that. And if they don't have the systems in place to protect their intellectual property, they're going to be sadly disappointed.
Right. What's the next one? Number two.
Number two is small businesses often fail to recognize that their own employees can be their greatest risk, and conversely as well as their greatest asset. But with intellectual property, it's much easier than stealing the 2-ton press out of the warehouse. You know, mm-hmm. it could be as easy as a 5-second download onto a flash memory card. And when you have a small business, inevitably you're going to have employees coming and going, and you have got to take steps to essentially shield the things that are most critical to your operations from your employees, because they're not owners of your business, and just like you had mentioned on the previous segment, they don't have the same level of commitment to your business as you do.
Right. And, of course, all this wraps into number one, which is failure to recognize that our intellectual property planning is just like maintaining an asset. Here's a quick question for you. If we've never talked to an employee about our intellectual property and how much we value it and how much we want to protect it, if we've never talked about that and there's never been any steps to do that, and the employee learns something from us and decides to go across the street and start their business with using our ideas, do we have any recourse?
It's unlikely. If you haven't protected it and you haven't established an employment agreement with that employee, you're probably out of luck. You're potentially right. Your most valuable asset just went across to the competitor.
Absolutely. Hey, David, thank you for being here. Thanks for helping us and educating us, but also maybe scaring the bejeebers out of us a little bit. Maybe that'll motivate some people to take some steps. Hey, thanks, David, for being here. Good job today. Happy Small Business Week.
Thank you.
See you next time. Got to go for this hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and as you know, this program is for you. Happy Small Business Week.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.